There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Come on to the Rock Show. Come on to the People Show. Come on to the Premier Show. SmackDown.
It's the 10th of... Again, so we don't hear the... It's the 10th of... January, the year of our Lord, 2002. Exactly. Robbie Williams, Swing When You're Winning, and Robbie Williams, Nicole Kidman, Something Stupid, are still bastard number one. I don't remember it being this long.
That's what she said.
Lord of the Rings, The Fellowship of the Ring. Well done, Tom.
Thanks, mate.
Is also number one, but for good reasons. The number one big game release, debatable, is Rez, the musical rail shooter developed by United Game Artists for the Dreamcast and PS2.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That game that your mates tell you you should play this, and you go, yeah, sure, you betcha I will, and then you never do. Emma Dale, Letitia has Kane very much on her mind. You just had a good year last year, I guess.
Oh, you had a great run in 01.
And is delighted when he offers her a lift to Houghton. But Cynthia isn't taken by the idea of her daughter spending so much time with the wayward brother of destruction. There's obviously lots of wrestling news to be getting on with and silly bollocks, but some serious, sad, and silly bollocks at the same time. This week sees the release of issue 223 of Sonic the Comic, aka the final edition of the comic in print form. Released on the 9th of January at the price of £1.50, bloody hell. The comic contains a complete reprint of the Evil Empire storyline, an open letter to fans by Nigel Kitching, and a free gift of a compass watch.
So you could find your way home.
Yes. You could just walk around devastated afterwards. The only feature in this issue is a two-page letter from Nigel Kitching to Sonic the Comics fans. Although it was edited in places and was originally set to appear in issue 200, the article still contains a wealth of history about Kitching's work. Letter covers Nigel's first stories with the comic, moving on to the Sonic CD story arc and Sonic 3 and Knuckles story arc. He also touches on post-100 creations like the Dracon Empire and the death of Johnny Lightfoot. AKA the last thing the comic did, I think that was memorable.
I remember it. I by that point, I'd stopped reading it on the regular.
Yeah.
But the impact of the death of Johnny Lightfoot storyline from Sonic the Comic was, it was rare to kill a character. Mm. I don't think it had ever been done. I don't think they ever truly killed a character until then.
I have to think, yeah.
I don't think they did.
Yeah. Ba-da-ba-da-ba. Yes, you got me there. Mm. So, a lovely part of our childhood. By that point, a lot of people have grown up, and Fleetway had certainly grown up with their ideas. And thought, we don't need to have new issues, just, yeah, do complete reprint. And it lasted. That idea of reprint lasted for a fair few months.
Yeah, they kept that horrible dream alive until it went out not with a bang but a whimper. Mm. Mate, we met them this year. Isn't that mad?
I know.
Isn't that mad? I have a photo on my phone. Look at this photograph with Richard Elson and Nigel Kitching in it. And I'm like 13-year-old Tom, that would make his head explode. Mm. That'd make his head explode. Love that for us.
But we're going to AEW. All in this weekend. It's just like, oh, do you want to meet these people? I've met them before.
Nigel Kitching, though.
What if Nigel Kitching.
Is Nigel Kitching going to All In?
Oh, yeah. I'll be there with gloves on. That was all that was happening. And the weird time of 10th of January, year of our Lord 2002. But what is a little lad from Star Wars Episode 1 was happening in the wonderful, disgusting, confusing world of wrestling? Well, I'm glad you asked the question because we have all of the answers for you. It's myself, it's Tom, it's the Call of the Classic SmackDown review. How you doing, Tom?
I'm good. This is a lovely day to do a podcast because it's probably a podcast that people are listening to on their way to London.
Downtown.
If you're not in London yet for All In,
yeah, or singing, you're singing Portobello Road, Portobello Road.
Burr, 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 burr. Burr, 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 burr. Baker Street.
Oh, is that in London?
Yeah.
I've never thought about where Baker Street was actually set.
The Strand.
I thought it was set in the Theatre of the Mind.
It's a real place, is Baker Street.
It's in Strand. Or Strand Rock.
No, no, I was adding The Strand as another place I know in London.
Oh. Naming place. Big Ben.
Mornington Crescent. The Gherkin. The big dildo in London.
I'm sure that the Burke to my right will be enjoying the Gherkin then. But
hey, are you excited? Because you're going to be, by the time people hear this, you're already there.
Mm.
Spreading your oats.
Jesus. Yes, I'll be having a good time. Sucking and fucking my way around London town.
Sucking your way through.
Melts in your mouth, not your hand. It's Mafu. Cheers.
80,000 at Wembley. Challenge accepted.
Suck us off, Mafu. Suck us off. All right, Jesus.
Thank God the show's 4 hours. That's right. If you go to Wembley, Mafu will suck your balls.
Tez, what do you think about Ospreay versus Jericho? I'm too busy having Mafu suck my cock. Not for nothing.
That's something you've had planned longer than the majority of the card for balling. Anyway, I am, all jokes aside, I'm buzzing for you. I'm buzzing for the UK. I'm buzzing for wrestling. There's a really wonderful vibe. And that's helping.
Go fuck yourself.
There's a really wonderful vibe this weekend. It's got a WrestleMania-esque vibe to it.
Yeah.
It's got like a wrestling Christmas vibe.
It's a big event.
It's great. Like, the eyes of the wrestling world are on the UK once again this weekend. And what a year we've had for wrestling in the UK.
Oh, yeah.
And you put it so bloody well, because online, people fucking banging on. And I'd say this if it was a WWE card, so shut the fuck up. Feel like, oh, the card's not, like, oh, this wasn't a very good match. Oh, they could have done that. You put it fucking best. It's like, I'm going to see all my mates and we're going to watch a massive wrestling show at Wembley. It don't matter.
Tom, I'm a simple person. Give me loads of mates. Give me a really good time.
All them cocks to suck.
Give me some dicks to suck. Some edibles in more ways than one. Ha, ha, ha. And yeah. So it was, there was a thing, Voices of Wrestling's usually really good, but they had this article this week. I was good to find out it was by Shane Silver, who used to really enjoy his tweets and his thoughts.
He's Shane Bronze now.
Did you read his article? No. Again, Voices of Wrestling's usually really good, but I don't know, they weren't invited to the Pressling, so I don't know if it was like,
they feel a bit grumpy, were they? I haven't read that particular
article. It was written like, many people, I read the quote tweets, and it was getting destroyed, the quote tweets, but many people thought like, bro, why is he written like he's on his way to war? Like, I'm leaving my child and my wife for the weekend, which is no easy feat for me, because I'm a family man. And I'm like, what the? AEW, I hope you bring me in. This may be the last time you see me. It's like,
fucking hell. I feel really sad.
Again, I love Shane Silver, but it's just like, wait, come a bit of perspective.
Yeah.
Come on. I don't care if it's the worst wrestling event ever. It feels good to do these big things with your mates.
I feel really sad for those people who are coming to Wembley and the entire quality of their weekend hangs on how good the Golden Elite versus the Bullet Club Gold is.
It's not about
It's not about that. Like, when I went to Clash, I can only relate to the Clash of the Castle, which we did last year. And oh my God, just the vibe, the energy, being around everybody, the euphoria, going to bloody ICW at midnight in a random pub with Andrew and having some bloke dressed as Giant Haystacks keeping us company. I was like, this is a great night.
Yeah.
What a time. Literally fucking voice chatting to Triple H. It's a great time.
So my grandma used to say it, and I don't realize she stole it from Billy Connolly, but whatever. There's no such thing as bad weather, just the wrong clothes. I'm putting on my best... Fantastic. Isn't that great? I'm putting on my best enjoyment clothes.
Yeah.
This will be so great because next week's podcast is like, yeah, all right, Matthew, after the shit this... It was shit, wasn't it, Tom? It's shit. Fucking AEW.
Anyway, they'll be doing Wembley next year, so I'll see you there.
Yeah. I can't wait to buy tickets for next year.
That'll show them.
Yeah, God. But anyway, yes, that's the ugly world of now. Ooh, yeah, boo, that's... hiss, boo, hiss. So talk about old things, Matthew and Tom. Well, here's you call them, young things.
Here's a great old thing to talk about. It's from our mailbag, and it's Jamie Brown, who writes in to classicacultaholic.com. Hi, lads.
Well, please stop talking about dick sucking. Yeah,
oh, sorry, hi, lads. What's the address of the Matthew dick sucking? I said, it'll be in the description of the podcast, don't worry. Hi, lads. Well done on making it through 2001. I recently played No Mercy and remembered how Stephen Richards replaced Big Show in the career mode storylines. My question is, if you pick one Big Show storyline in existence, but you swapped in with Richards, what would it be?
Oh, okay.
The idea of Stephen Richards trying to get in on the Yes movement is an amusing prospect. Thanks for all the continued laughs, as always.
Yeah, remember when Stephen Richards had a beanie?
Right. I remember that.
It's a good look for him.
That was certainly a look. Okay, a Big Show storyline that we can supplant Stephen Richards in. I quite like the idea of... can we have Stephen Richards thrown off the roof of Cobo Hall? I know we're crossing the international punchline there, but it'd be quite nice to have Rich Hogan throwing and Stephen Richards' custom monster truck, which is white with like a black tie on the front. That'd be lovely.
Oh my God, Steve Austin's been run over at Survivor Series 99. We need someone to replace him in the main event. Look whilst looking at Big Show. Stephen Richards!
No, they go, Big Show! Tell Stephen Richards! Yeah. He's in the main event!
Big Show, can you think of anybody?
And Stephen Richards then has the match with Viscera on Raw for the WWF title, which ends with a dropkick off the top.
Stevie Series 99. Thank you very much for enjoying Tales the One with us, Jamie.
Love that. Thank you, Jamie Brown. Anyway, on to the matter of 2002, A Space Odyssey. It's quite a quiet week this week, so not too much before we get into the meat and the potatoes of SmackDown. Hulk Hogan in the news this week. He had a conversation with Vince McMahon once more this week. However, they've been very far apart on money in the last few months. But Hogan is making it very clear from the interviews that he's done recently that he's now up for coming in and is willing to maybe meet somewhere in the middle on money.
I love it.
We had Nash last week. We've got Hogan this week meeting with Vince and going, yeah, I want $1 bajillion. And Vince going, no. And Hogan's going, fine. XWF, I'll come in for $1 bajillion. And they've gone, we haven't got $1 bajillion, Hulk. Vince, I'll come in for, all right, I'll come in for $1 trillion. All right, then, for you. Shysters being shysters. You love to see it. The Undertaker could be missing the Rumble. I didn't know this was a thing at the time. That banger of a match he had against Big Show last week. Uh-huh. We saw Big Show running top speed towards his motorbike. apparently, Undertaker suffered a lower back injury when he got chokeslammed by Big Show. And there is a concern that he might not make it to the Royal Rumble.
It's always the way. We have the best run of the not the lives, but best run in a long, long time. You know, this is the storyline to replace Big Show with Stevie Richards with then. Yeah. Undertaker injured by the Stevie kick. You can't really read that headline.
Stevie Richards running top speed towards the Undertaker's motorbike. a little sign of the future to come because it was announced this week in the Ross Report that three names are joining the house show and dark match circuit on a full-time basis for the WWF from February. Those names being Shelton Benjamin.
Ooh.
Dave Bautista.
Ooh.
And John Cena.
Ooh.
Dave Meltzer, The Observer, says Batista isn't ready. And he's the only one they're really worried about. But they really like the look of Leviathan to the WWF. Mm. I'm sure he'll be fine.
They were kind of right, but it did take a while for Batista to get into his groove. But rather like Big Show chasing after Undertaker, once he hit his full speed...
The nice thing is history's on our side when it comes to Batista because obviously the brand split will mean there'll be some friends that we'll never really get to talk too much about coming soon, but we will get to follow the career trajectory of Dave Batista.
Yay.
And all the bumps along the way.
No, wait, you mean Cena, right? Batista was a Raw guy.
No, he was a SmackDown guy as well. I mean, early.
Oh, God, yeah. The Deacon Batista. I forgot. Well done. Look at you, Tom.
We get the Deacon, baby. We're getting the freaking Deacon. Dean Malenko has started his new role. He's working as a road agent now. So he's stepping away from in-ring stuff and doing stuff behind the scenes, which we kind of saw coming.
Which makes sense because he's an agent for a road. Okay. he's a bit of a psychopath.
Hey! He's bloody done it. Oof. Swank magazine this week revealed the top 50 wrestlers. It's a softcore porn.
It's the regular feature in the podcast where Tom makes up a magazine.
I loved
Parade magazine.
But then you went away and looked at what Parade magazine was, and you went, "Shit, it's nothing like I described it."
Yeah, it's a Raz mag. Man, I was in a good mood that day. It was just like Parade magazine. I'm like, "What do you mean?" It was Parade Weekly. I went, "Our elephants too much."
How many clowns can you really fit in a car?
Those Shriners, those little fellas in the cars. What are they all about then, eh?
The true impact of confetti.
Are you allowed to drive around these things when you're on a ways or something?
No, Swank magazine, which is a porn magazine, ranked the
well,
top...
Well, that's not funny.
They ranked the top 50 American wrestlers of all time. And it was actually a really good list. I think that's why everybody was shocked. In the Observer, they write...
Oh, please say it was Lutez or someone.
It goes Hulk Hogan, right, The Rock, Steve Austin, Ric Flair, Andre the Giant, Bret Hart.
American wrestlers of all time, Andre the Giant.
Yep.
Uh-huh.
Triple H.
Uh-huh.
Shawn Michaels. Undertaker.
Uh-huh.
Bruno Sammartino.
Okay, yeah.
Mick Foley.
Yeah.
China.
Yeah.
Kurt Hennig.
Uh-huh.
Haystacks Calhoun.
Oh, all right.
Chief J Strongbow.
Okay.
Sting.
Part of Italy, yeah.
Gorgeous George.
Uh-huh.
Antonio Rocca.
Nothing more Italian than that, yeah, all right.
The original Sheik.
For fuck's sake.
Harley Race.
Greatest American wrestler of all time, the original Sheik.
Harley Race.
All right.
Sergeant Slaughter. Randy Savage.
He's from
Jake Roberts. Gorilla Monsoon. Okay. Dusty Rhodes, Killer Kowalski, George Steele, Jimmy Snuka.
Oh, you're actually listing all of them.
Rob Van Dam, nearly done. The Iron Sheik.
For fuck sake.
Roddy Piper. Chris.
What?
Chris Jericho.
What?
Kane.
He's from hell.
King Cole Bundy. Jesse Ventura. Kurt Angle. Both of Demolition. That's okay. One entry. Ricky Steamboat, Big John Studd, both the Road Warriors, the Honky Tonk Man. Ultimate Warrior, Jerry Lawler, Abdullah the Butcher, Junkyard Dog, Ted DiBiase, Hillbilly Jim, Wahoo McDaniel, Superstar Billy Graham, and RIP Empowered Terry Funk. So that's Swank Magazine's top 50 American wrestlers.
For starters, King Kong Bundy is clearly from Skull Island.
He's clearly from our nightmares.
Yeah, good list.
Oh, that's good.
I'm glad you told us that.
You're welcome.
I could have guessed 49 of them.
WWE
both sheets.
So good use to you. Just nice to talk about Swank magazine on the
Swank.
Good wrestlers to wank.
I want to hear a wrestler's top 50 wanks.
Of the week or just depends how busy you are. Now, Raw, WWF have had two shows at Madison Square Garden this week.
Yes.
Raw and the SmackDown we're going to talk about today. The Raw MSG show featured a highly touted indie outing for highly touted indie star Low Ki.
Low Ki was at Madison Square Garden?
Yep, he lost to Christian for Metal and Jacked. So those matches exist.
Wow, okay.
They're out there
at
somewhere.
MSG?
Yeah. Wow. Brock Lesnar got a big pop on the dark match for Raw, beating Rico Constantino.
Never.
The crowd, however, got bored of Randy Orton and Ron Waterman the second that they put a chin lock on.
Yeah, you just look at Ron Waterman, you're already bored.
The crowd were cunts this night because during the national anthem sung by Lillian Garcia, every time she broke for part of the song, they just shouted, "What?"
Ah! In New York City,
and then at one point,
that's amazing.
Oh, say, can you see
what
by the dawn's early light? What was the road?
Oh, wow. Of all the places, I thought they weren't going to do that. Wow.
And then as the second verse started, someone let off a foghorn.
By the rock,
bunch of bastards. What? Bunch of bastards.
Wahoo McDaniel. Circus clowns. What? Hong Kong. Elephant noise. Shriner.
Lillian Garcia. So just, apparently Lillian Garcia dealt with it very well. Unlike, who was it the week at the XWF shows who was getting wadded and was just like, I'll let you get it out of your system, you fucks.
Oh, Dave Penza. Yeah, Dave Penza.
Penza was getting pissed off by it, wasn't he?
Oh, well, yeah, he's got such a busy thing. Busy schedule. Hey, you're keeping me up. McDonald's breakfast finishes soon.
Ah, almost time for lunch.
It must have sounded like the fucking guy from the Police Academy films, which is trying to sing that anthem. By the rock, it's regular. A wooga! And the hoe.
Get your tits out. Cretinous fans in New York.
I was not expecting to hear. I'm sorry, I went off on one then. But I just was funny. Not expecting, of all the places in America and all the times in American history, that's the time the other thing gets wanted.
It must have been 2-for-1 on half pints of beer and how much Americans love a drink.
Oh, yeah, notorious. God, you're ruining wrestling. Yeah. You know about yourself and your video game side.
Anyway, that's all the news this week. It's a quiet one.
Oh, thank Christ. I'm about to fall asleep and laughing.
I can read Swank's top 50 American wrestlers again if you want.
If it gets boring, we'll just read Swank.
We'll read Swank again.
Available for all your local news agents.
Now, let's go over to Matthew Gregg, who will talk us through this week's episode of SmackDown
for thank you,
January the 10th, 2022. Okay, now. I'll tell you the truth.
20-2.
I've had about 3 hours sleep again this week.
Well, you hide it so well. Triple H makes his Robbie Williams-esque return to the top on Raw, dressed in double denim. He's here to enter the Rumble and challenge heel Austin to get his title. Oh, wait, no, we're not doing that anymore, are we? Yeah,
no,
everything's changed.
Scratch that.
Oh, well, I'm sure I'll think of something. Here's Kurt Angle to mock Triple H for being out for 8 months because look at me, I'm Kurt Angle. I won a gold medal with a broken freaking neck.
Is that the first time he says that?
I think he said it, like, at other times on SmackDown very briefly, but this is the time that everyone paid attention to it because Triple H's big return and all that. So both men enter the Rumble. It's Kurt's first because last year he was being the piss out of Triple H. So Triple H pounds him down. Exciting stuff. In the cold open, Stephanie is here to check out Deborah's tits.
Before we get into any further from that, just a quick lament on Triple H's return. We'll get back to the tits then. What a moment. I remember watching it live. And it scored like the highest ratings for Raw since August of the previous year.
Yep.
And absolutely blew it. It was so simple in its execution, but Triple H milked every bit of it. There was two things I thought. I thought, wow, this is the moment. And fuck me, he's massive.
Yes, he is gigantic.
This is Triple H at his biggest here because he's just weight trained all the while he's been off. And he is cumbersome. To put it lightly, this is the neck deep in toffee era of Triple H wrestling.
Yeah, you know how Triple H we all loved? Yeah, he's dead.
Yeah, because he can't move anymore.
Yes, he's the... We've had Tom Baker, right? Tom Baker's left. This is Colin Baker.
Sorry, tits.
Yes, Deborah's tits, for some reason, and both of them brag about their partner beating up their other partner.
What, both her tits?
Yes, actually. Look, put down Swank, all right? And Steph is sure to mention her pass so she can actually be here. Oh, her pass. I put pass on. What do you mean pass? Yes. Last week she wasn't allowed in because she was like, who are you?
Yeah.
But now she's actually got a pass. She can be backstage. No need to drag James Dudley in this time.
No.
He was number 51 on the list.
He just left outside.
Widdy wee, widdy woo, widdy woo. WWE does Madison Square Garden part two. 12,175 people, which is a very good number for this place. Yes, twice in 1 week at the same arena. Bloody hell. RVD and Rock versus Jericho and Test is our main event. But here's Steph for her second segment of the night, 5 minutes into the show. Michael Cole points out she's no longer employed by the WF, but she's allowed in. Okay. Steph thanks the crowd for cheering her so much. Oh, sorry, for cheering Triple H so much. And she's the game's wife. And Steph is the reason he won the title 4 times. She also credits herself for the Revolutionary War and the FIFA World Cup 94. Ric Flair doesn't agree with logic, which is why he's out with a concussion. Crowd wats her, as if she's singing the anthem. So here's security, which Stephanie warns them not to touch her. If you do, Triple H will beat you all up. But then she leaves anyway because she ran out of things to say.
I think she ran out of things to say about 3 minutes into this 10-minute spiel. Because she just sort of regurgitates the same basic principle of Triple H is back and I'm Triple H's wife. And whoever I say he should kill, he will kill. So they're really hamming up the fact that Trips is back as a babyface, but Steph's a heel, and there's got to be something here. There's got to be something that goes on here.
Yes, you may be cheering him, but I'll the one fucking him. this wasn't a bad Steffi promo. Those would come later.
Oh, yeah, spoiled later.
Backstage, the tag team of Christian and Jew, which in brackets is Lance Storm, walk back, as we established last week, by the way, if people just think this, Matthew, what? What's this crazy anti-Semitism come from? No, we established last week that Lance Storm is Jewish.
Yes.
He celebrates Hanukkah. Walk backstage to complain about Taz and Spike being the tag team champions. They'll be easier to beat at Madison Square Garden than the New York Knicks. Crowd boos. Lance Storm says, yeah, because USA sucks at hockey. There's a beat. And Christian says, they suck at basketball too. Like, well done for pointing that out, idiot. It would have been way funnier if Christian went, what a dork, instead of a completely different sport like bowling.
Yeah, that would have been funnier.
That would have been way funnier. Lance, what does he know? Oh, well.
Wrestling has ruined my brain because I instantly capitalized when Christian said, oh, us beating Taz and Spike tonight, it's money in the bank. I was like, stop it. Oh, okay. It's ruined my brain.
We're going to leave an Impact Wrestling all over him.
Now, interesting there, because we were chatting there, and Spike and Taz, tag team champions?
Absolutely.
What? That wasn't the case last week. They lost.
Yes.
Wapa!
We're going to get to it very soon.
I know.
Right after these messages. The Final Fantasy X Slam of the Week is Bubba getting distracted by Stacy's own arse to lose the tag titles via tables. Taz is the same size as a PS2. And here are the new champions to a big pop and Taz's theme, Taz and Spike, as they lost the Lilies, that is, lost their tag titles the same way the Medusa was torn apart by her own reflection. Stacy's arse bounced back and hit her own arse. They're taking on Christstorm. Ooh, type that out, thought I could make it work. I couldn't. They're taking on Christstorm. That's better. Which is an interesting combo, as Christian is still the European champion. Oh, well. Lance takes out Taz with a super kick immediately, so Spike dives off the top rope to the outside, which is like Buzz Lightyear falling off the stairs. Lance demolishes.
Bastard.
Because it's demolition.
Oh, demolitions, baby.
Demolishes. Lance destroys Spike with a Finley roll. It's always cool seeing guys like Lance get the bust out moves that they can't hit on anyone else on the roster.
I had a Finley roll on the way in.
Oh, you've been told to not eat them,
Tom. It's a meal deal with a coffee.
I have to cut back on my Finley rolls. Lola sells the drama of Spike's beatdown by wondering what the smell is.
Didn't this happen?
We did it on a satellite feed.
On a satellite
feed. Yeah, but then Lola segs into it by going, oh, it's Nick Patrick's face after Rikishi asked it on Raw. Oh, okay.
He got the stink face on Raw, did Nick Patrick?
Yeah. Thanks for bringing that up, Lawler.
If he can still smell shit on Patrick's breath after a day, I think Nick Patrick's hygiene has to be discussed with Nick Patrick.
Look, he's what they call in the business a mucky pup.
He's a mucky pup.
Spike gets a curiously low blow on Lance, so Taz tags in to pop them hips all over Lance and Christian. Christian halts the Dudley dog, locks in a reverse DDT, which leaves him wide open for a Taz mission from the legal Taz, and that's it. Mm. Commentators sell the shock of the underdogs winning again. Then the Dudley show up to attack both of them, but Spike and Taz make their own comeback and leave them laying. Good God, it's a push. It's a proper push and everything.
Here's the thing.
Wait 2 seconds. Lawler wonders where Stacey Keibler is. Hey, old pervert has a point for once. Sorry, that point is on the table playing pocket billiards, but still. They have got rid of her because her ass was the reason for them losing, so they've dumped her.
Oh, they dumped her in that segment?
Well, apparently off camera, I believe.
Oh.
But they said, well, again, you caused this, so we don't want you with us anymore.
Oh, but yeah, she was...
I wondered how that ended, but there you go. Now, what are you going to say?
You've Mandela affected there because they Dudleys weren't left laying, and this was something I was going to bring up. They weren't left laying. So
that's true.
Dudleys attack Spike and Taz.
Mm-hmm.
Then Spike gets a bulldog out of the corner, which they completely flummox because Bully Ray just pancakes before Spike's even left the ground.
That's just how strong he is.
Taz then, listen, that is probably what it is, isn't it? Taz lands a lovely suplex onto Devon, and then Taz does like a little march around the ring and realizes, oh, better get out of here. By which point, Bully Ray and Devon are both back up. Spike and Taz are walking up the ramp, and they're playing the Dudley's music.
Oh, which Dudley Boys team was it? Was it?
Oh, maybe.
Yeah, it was the first one, that's Spike's.
Ah.
How they do the Mankind. They come out to one theme, then leave with another.
Maybe that's what they were doing then. Maybe that's what threw me. Yeah. Maybe it was their old music. But either way, like, they didn't really leave them laying. All right, look, it wasn't great.
But they are underdogs.
It's still a push.
It's still, that's it. Look, crappy bulldog pancake. Ooh, I love them. Aside.
You could have them now in the Avenue Finley Rolls.
Beat me to it. Yeah. I thought the fact that these two were able to win a tag match and then get attacked and then walk away is about as strong as you can get for them.
Yeah, it is. It does feel like we're getting a push for Spike. And I like them as a perennial underdog tag team champions. I really like how every team underestimates them and then they're just gutsy and gritty and bulldog-esque and just grab wins where they can. And I like that. I like that a lot.
Bulldog-esque.
Bulldog-esque.
Returning at the Rumble, Val Venus. He's been away for months, last wrestling on TV in April of last year, before zoning off to HWA. You know how they de-emphasized his porn star gimmick last year and a half? Well, it's back now. He's all porn. Lawler's happy to see him. Of course he is.
He didn't make the swank top 50, sadly.
But his pages were stuck together.
He was on Bite This past week.
No, thank you.
He was asking why Triple H is getting a bunch of fanfare for his return, but he's not. Gee, it's a mystery. This is the beginning of a series of promos throughout the night. Mm-hmm. And we'll talk about them as we come to them. I don't want to spoil them. Hyping surprise returns for the Rumble. Now, I distinctly remember watching the O2 Rumble and being shocked at people coming out. Oh. I don't remember them spoiling it.
No, I do remember because Power Slam said, yeah, here's all the people coming back at the Rumble.
Oh.
Before I saw the Rumble, I was like, oh, they announced who it was going to be? But I guess they want people to watch it.
Yeah, I guess. Mm. But you could have had some as a surprise.
I'm trying to think who they would have done in the past that was a genuine surprise. Honky Tonk Man was a surprise last year, but Drew Carey they hyped because he had that dodgy comedy special to promote.
Yes, that's very true.
Yeah. Yeah, it is a bit odd, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't like it when they give away everybody in the Rumble. Like, you want there to be some fun surprises in there. That's the joy of the Rumble.
Good old days of, you know, Doug Gilbert.
Bloody Dory Funk Jr. entering.
That's right, the Headhunters.
Dick Murdoch.
Hey.
No respect.
Edge is brought to you by Truth, Final Fantasy X, and Black Hawk Down. His opponent is the Big Boss Man. Brought to you by Werther's Originals, Heat Rub, and On the Buses reruns.
He's not Big Boss Man.
Go on.
He's Boss Man now. they've dropped the big. His little graphic on the side just said Boss Man.
They did.
Mm.
Oh, no.
We're getting rid of the big. He's just Boss Man.
Wow, it's like a completely different wrestler.
I know, right? Vince loves just sometimes just taking bits of people's names out. Like on the Classic Raw review, we've got the Wild Man Mark Marrow on TV on the weekly, and this talk of Vince just wanting to call him Wild Man. Like, no.
Yeah, that'll help him.
That'll do it. That's the missing piece of the puzzle.
Boss Man's back to wearing the flak jacket to make him look less old. It's not working.
No.
Lola talks about Venus instead of Edge. That type was all horribly. So let's see. Edge, Boss Man, Venus, Triple H, Austin. We are stuck in 98. Boss Man tries his put the guy in the ropes, then punch him spot, but he's struggling even with that as Edge oversells everything in attempt to make this work. Boss Man tries to get the stick, but Edge intercepts it. Edge thinks about using it, but decides to land the execution on the stick to retain his IC title instead. Yay for Edge, who's still getting lovely pops. But then, speaking of 98, it's real man's man Regal on the big screen. Wee Willie congratulates him on smashing his nose and causing him to lose so much of his blood, his pure English blood. The English are the most evil, spiteful, rotten bastards to ever run the earth. Don't gamble with the devil. The devil always wins, and he's come to collect. Edge follows this lovely promo by shitting all over it by saying, yeah, thanks, Beelzebub. What the hell are you talking about? Speak English. You want a title match at the Rumble? Yeah, okay, fine. I hope your nose is working, okay, so you can smell me reeking of awesomeness. Edge's promo was fine, apart from having to shove that last awkward bit in.
Yeah, it was sort of half goofy, half new age Edge. It was kind of a bit of a... Very much like the Edge Boss Man match, it was a match that was out of time. Boss Man and Edge were two different generations, and it didn't make for an exciting affair, this one. But it happened, and Edge won, so that was the right way to do it. They cut to Regal on the Tron, and he's smiling, and he's applauding, because you can hear the noise. You can't see his hands, so it does sound a bit he's wanking.
No.
You just look up and Edge is... You see Regal smiling and you just hear... Sounds like he was wanking.
He's getting ready to sing Mr. Sandman.
I'm losing more fluid because of you, Edge.
This is cum. English cum.
Good old English cum.
Like my mother used to make. God save our queen. What?
Fucking playing the anthem, chatting what? People wanking.
Oh, it's gracious. Quitting on set of what? It's wank.
Wank.
Yeah. Speaking of wank, returning at the Rumble, Goldust.
Hey.
Bloody hell, we really are 1980. Wow, that's just something you can't say out loud, Matthew.
It's Matthew having a stroke.
1980 it up. If you put an ing on the end of anything, you can make it work. It's so fluid. He last wrestled for his dad's TC Dub, the very short-lived Dusty Rhodes promotion, in December. Last wrestled for the WWF on Shotgun Saturday night, May 25th, 1999, losing to the Hardy Boys.
That's it, and this is his, and he wasn't involved in the invasion in any way, shape, or form, because obviously he was a WCW guy at that point. Just disappeared, went to do do the stuff for Turnbuckle, and this is his return to the company in his tried and true Goldust persona.
Yes, to have a really good run.
Yeah, it does become a really... There's some ropey points in there.
Sure.
I believe you have a Rob Van Dam Goldust match that...
Oh.
Memory serves isn't great.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Him as a wrestler, especially in the pay-per-view matches that we'll see him in the next few months, are a bit wank. Not you, Regal. But as soon as him and Booker T hit it off.
Yeah.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with Plush Care. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive and June. Olive and June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive and June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive and June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Kurt Angle's backstage to massive boos. Lillian asks him what he thinks about Goldust. Angle says, "Oh, that's what we need. More freaks. If I wanted those, I'd step outside onto downtown Manhattan." Triple H coming back didn't get to me. But this does. This crowd yelling, "What?" after every sentence. This does not make them quieter. "Hey, stop it! What? I'm an Olympian! What?" "All right, let's see if this works." "What?" "Please don't say what again." "What?" "Cut it out! What? This is all Austin's fault! What? Say it again! What? You say it again, I'm kicking Austin's butt! What? Okay, fine, I'm beating up Austin tonight, and it's all your fault! What?" That's right.
And as the crowd are going, "What?" The production truck are finding what signs in the crowd and doing fast zooms in on them.
They don't have to look very hard.
No, they were everywhere. Isn't it fascinating being at this in this part of the what chant cycle, the life cycle, where WWE are not ignoring it, but they're embracing it and they're encouraging it? It's interesting. They're just and this is the chant they'll come to where they will do everything in their power to not acknowledge it. And sometimes it's effective and sometimes it's not, but it lingers. Boy, howdy, does it linger. But they were really leaning into it at this point.
Absolutely. Anyway, here's Booker in the bathroom listening to someone fart.
While he brushes his teeth.
Yeah, Booker gets mad at the nuclear explosions occurring as he's brushing his teeth. Rikishi emerges from the toilet and says it's his pre-match ritual. Booker sprays some cologne on him to help him, which is nice. Booker asks, "Who have you got tonight?" Rikishi looks at him and says, "You." And Booker pulls his crazy face. Crowd love this. Fart!
I like that Rikishi's pre-match ritual is just a big dump. I can relate to that shit. A big dump.
Sadly, Triple H in 03 would do one of them with Steiner.
Yay!
The overdrive of the night. Sponsored by Greyhound. Oh, no. Test, trying to hit RVD with a chair, but getting five-starred instead. Woof, woof, move, move, with dogs who drive buses.
And according to the advert, dogs that repair cars.
God, they're so good.
They're great, aren't they?
Never mind AI replacing art. Here's dogs taking all the garages. And here's Jericho, who, unlike Greyhounds and buses, is not moving at all, despite being the woo-woo champ. Jericho heads out and does the one bit that I liked I think during this time, which is holding his belt near people in the front row, then taking it away at the last minute.
As if to go, you can't be the champion.
Everyone makes their entrances, and maybe it's my old ears, but I couldn't hear a damn word the commentators were saying during them, because I think they've put the volume up on the theme music.
Yeah, it was really difficult to hear. Obviously they make Teflon Test comments as Test comes out. Yeah. He was Jericho's partner. There's some love for Rob Van Dam and the mentions of the Rumble. And then when The Rock comes out, you can barely hear.
Yeah, The Rock you can't hear, but that's just because of The Rock. Mm. Test gets wiped off the earth by The Rock, and Jericho tries to ignore The Rock calling out on the apron. So Rock brings him in the hard way, which allows Test to hit The Rock harder. Then NFL 2K2 is a game released in 01 for the Xbox. Is also the last game in the NFL 2K series to feature Randy Moss as a cover athlete. On the Xbox, Jericho tags in while The Rock is down. I see we're doing the whole Angle Rock chemistry again. RVD saves The Rock from more test offense. nailing all his trademark offense and proving he should have had the title match at the Rumble. RVD Sunset flips Test, but Jericho makes a save, which allows Test to test everywhere as RVD takes a long series of moves. RVD puts his educated feet to good measure and doesn't bust open anyone as he makes the hot tag to Rock. Well done, RVD. Immediate rock bottom to Jericho, but Big Test is able to save. So RVD kicks Test and dives the outside in a crazy moment, not rolling, just landing flat. I'm not sure if he just messed up the dive or Test was expecting something else, but just... Yeah. He's okay, though, and he chases Test through the crowd. Rock and Jericho mash the pad to see who recovers first. It's Jericho, who instantly lands on Rock's knees on a line salt. Jericho blocks another rock bomb and walks into the Scorpion King Deathlock for the instant tap. Again, they just switched up the angle rock formula. Almost said Florida then. But with Jericho actually tapping out, so I guess it's not like Kurt at all. Hot, hot crowd, unusual smooth action. But yeah, Jericho is still a bitch.
Jericho, Jericho tapping like a bitch. We both called him a bitch in this. I hate the booking of Jericho. I hate the use of Jericho. Having him tapping out and looking so weak in every match he has, like he's been drained of all his hit points. Now he's the world champion. Like he made a deal with the devil to become the champ. You become the weakest fucking bitch wrestler that ever existed. Like, what's the point? This is the fourth time on SmackDown that The Rock and Rob Van Dam have teamed up, which surely should put them in contendership for the tag titles now, because people have got more for less, put it that way. It seems like a safe pattern to have Rock and Van Damme as a team facing whichever bad guys they're working against.
Yeah, but you know what they did? They ruined it by Lawler going, hey, look, it's the team of Rock Van Damme.
Yeah.
And the fans saying, we're not calling that.
He would ruin it, I'm afraid. Heading into the Rumble, like we speculated that they were building towards Chris Jericho versus Rob Van Dam for the Rumble. Obviously, we're getting Jericho and The Rock. I kind of wish we were getting Jericho Van Dam and put Rock in the Rumble itself.
Yep.
I thought that'd have been much nicer. Like, like a competitive 15-20 minute Chris Jericho Rob Van Dam match for the Undisputed WWF title would have been brilliant.
I completely agree.
But alas.
Alas. Oh, good. Oh, and that opens up Rock to then wrestle Test.
Yeah. Yeah, you could have going for as or well. At least have a meeting in the Rumble.
Yeah. Oh, goody. Next up, we have JR talking to Vince. JR talks about how long and loud the crowd was for Triple H's return. And I feel this is something that's been drilled into our heads as something that didn't quite happen.
Oh.
Sure, it was a loud-ass pop, but you hear it on TV and it's not the loudest thing of all time, like when Austin's return in January 99 exists. But maybe that's just me. What say you?
Do you think there's a bit of a conspiracy here?
It was a giant pop, but the way they talk about it, you think... like Oppenheimer dropped the bomb on MSG.
Interesting. I mean, I always knew it was a big pop and one of the loudest ever, but certainly history does tell you that it's like when they do like top 10 crowd reactions on
their YouTube
channel, like it's always there. It is a great reaction.
It is a great one.
And the figures are good for that quarter of Raw.
They are.
But yeah, I remember it being loud, but then I don't know whether I've been conditioned.
Exactly. You can't let WWE dictate history because they'll say what they want.
Yeah, it's true.
Giant pop, though. I'm not taking anything away. All the double denim. Anyway, we see Flair punching Vince and getting a black eye. So on Raw, Vince says, he's the man, and dresses up as Ric Flair in a good moment with the wig and the coat. Ric shows up, so Vince pipes him with a pipe and busts him open so Ric bleeds all over his white shirt. Nice, simple segment. We cut back to Vince and he's grinning like a boob. Vince says his actions weren't unprovoked. Flair hit him for no reason on SmackDown. Oh, what Vince is going to do to him at the Rumble. Oh, it's going to be beautiful. Vince tells JR he barely knows him. Vince is a risk taker. Vince hopes Flair's family is there because he wants them to see what he does to Flair. And Vince does his bit where he says, JR, I enjoy destroying lives. It turns me on. And this was whatever until Vince McMahon's Gul Dukat-esque confession near the end. Gul Dukat, well done, Matthew. Sorry, he's the magnificent bastard from Deep Space Nine. Vince does resemble sometimes when he grins, and it's like, oh, it was like 4 hours of makeup on that dude. But yeah, this was a lovely bit from Vince.
I really liked it. This was, and this is the beginning of something really interesting with Vince here, because this is the beginning of sort of insanity Vince, which leads over until sort of March, April time, and then they just sort of forget about it. But it's that little glint in Vince's eye that suggests, like, oh, yeah, you're going mental.
Yes.
This is great.
Which, coincidentally, is what happens with Gold Ducat.
He goes mental too. Yeah, that's it, yes. Yeah. Gold, yes. That's the guy.
Yeah.
He has, like, a wild-eyed look in his face. He doesn't need, like, a massive expression, but just enough there. But Vince was... that line stayed... I remember hearing that line first time round. Spoiler for the last bit.
It turns me on. It
turns me on.
Anyway.
I enjoy.
Rumble Return sees Mr. 1998 himself, Mr. Perfect.
Oh!
His first WWF match since October 93. He's been wrestling for XWF until then. So get effed, Jimmy Hart's pasta.
Cheers, mate. Jimmy Hart's crying. What lovely synchronicity this is. And I love when this happens on the Cultaholic podcast feed. Because the next episode that we record of Monday Night Raw, well, the next one that you will hear, it is the hype for the return of Mr. Perfect.
So you're 96, right?
96.
Oh, okay.
So
yeah.
It's on the way. We're on the way to Buried Alive, and Mr. Perfect is teasing a return match against Hunter Hearst Helmsley.
Yes.
And then on the SmackDown review, we're getting the return of Mr. Perfect in the 2002 Royal Rumble.
Fantastic.
And what a return in 02 it is.
It's a bit better than the one in 96, for sure.
Oh my God, just ever so slightly better. Although I do enjoy the last month or so of Mr. Perfect in 96, where he's been cultivating his wife mine by just stealing all of Hunter Hearst Helmsley's valets.
Yes.
I do hope that one day on the Raw review, we get a segment where... Hunter Hearst Helmsley opens a door and there's just a bunch of skeletons with dresses.
Oh, Christ.
That's where he was putting them.
And you know who did that? Gold Ducat.
Hey! Turned him on.
Mr. Perfect himself. I remember getting a lovely reaction at the O2.
Yeah.
At the O2.
At the O2 Rumble. Right? Yeah, I knew what you meant.
No, there was,
and he was really good.
Mm.
Really, like, everybody went, fuck, where have you been? That's great.
Where haven't I been? Woof. Anyway, here's Booker T to take on the arse. Booker tries a sunset flip, but realizes, oh no, it's the arse. Another solid big bump quick match from Rikishi. Oh, I've missed them. Yeah. Booker gets the stink face, and we get a rare insta replay as he hams it up. Why's that, I wonder? And then I remember, oh, is it? Yes, it is. Big pop for that. Then Booker heads to the commentary table and spaffs all over Cole at ringside.
I have to point out that you mean vomit.
Maybe.
Because spaff could also have another connotation.
I don't know what he did, but I wrote spaff. And in my head, I'm like, don't say spaff. But I'm like, it's such a good word.
Booker T heads ringside and just wanks over.
Look, if Regal can do it...
This is a really wank episode of Raw, of SmackDown, isn't it? I mean, arguably they all are.
On the Monday Night Wank.
It's very wank heavy, I apologise. Very vulgar. My auntie Belinda's listening to this one, she'd be furious.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry, Belinda.
Press F in the chat. So, Michael Cole gets puked on, and Lawler helps by yelling, "You got puked on, Cole!" Yes. Kishi's music plays, I guess, because that counts as a win.
It certainly does.
Yes, it's Booker T, who was once headlining pay-per-views, vomiting on commentators.
This is Booker T playing the game, pun intended, because they've come in and gone, no one knows who you are. You've just got to go out there and you do what you're told. So they go, right, you're going to do some horrible shit. And he's just going to do it and he's going to roll with it and he's going to be brilliant at it. And they're going to have to accept the fact that actually he's great. And he's part of the family now. It's a weird, weird fucking hazing thing that a lot of WWE guys get creatively where you go, we're going to give you some real shit stuff to do and you're just going to do it. And then maybe we'll give you something good. Like, because you had the audacity to work somewhere else. Mm.
That's all right, because the NWO will come in and have exactly the same. No, they won't. And then JR replaces Cole like it's the last hour of AW Collision. Booker vomits in the toilet while DDP tells Booker, this isn't a bad thing. Actually, it really is a really button. Rotten, bad thing. Button. But it's a good thing because it didn't happen to him. DDP. And he leaves.
Booker T and Diamond Dallas Page in the toilet talking about, oh, you, Rikishi put his ass in your face. That's the invasion, isn't it? That's the invasion. Done.
Yeah.
If there was ever any doubt, what a waste of fucking time. There it is.
This is a good usage of DDP's current gimmick.
Yeah.
Though I've been overly positive dick. As I said in the past, it's DDP playing DDP.
Mm-hmm.
Never mind that. We can't have these ex-WCW stars running around. We have to reserve space for the Rumble return of The Godfather.
Oh.
The gimmick returns to TV, last seen July 2000 on Raw. He wouldn't do a fuck of a lot for the next few months. Meanwhile, Bull Buchanan wouldn't return until December. Shocking, that.
Oh, poor Bull. Godfather, right? This gimmick in 2023 is fascinating. Because whenever they brought Godfather back, they're like, it's Godfather! We can't talk about who he is, or what he does, or anything about him.
Right.
It's Godfather! His induction into the Hall of Fame was fucking hilarious. Because it's Bradshaw and Farouk going, remember that thing? Oh, can't say that. And hey, when he did that, oh, yeah. The Godfather! What's his gimmick? He's the Godfather. He's a businessman.
Yes. Give it up for the international sex trafficker, the Godfather.
Basically a sex trafficker.
Yeah, but it's back in the day, isn't it? Yay, pimps.
Yeah.
Yay. Don't think about it too much. Yay. The Rock had been walking around 5 whole days and hasn't had the chance to say, finally, in New York City, etc. Did I just type out just The Rock's promo without saying, by the way, The Rock's backstage? Yes, I did.
I think you did, yeah.
The Rock's backstage. The Rock has been walking around 5 whole days and hasn't had the chance to say, finally, in New York City yet. Jericho, you call yourself a living legend? Larger than life? You don't know about large. You know about enormous. That's The Rock. He has something. I mean, Rock stops as he notices the coach looking at The Rock's big dick. Whoa, 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 says Crash Bandicoot. Coach, he's talking about his size 14 foot, which is going to shove up Jericho's ass over and over again, then take it out and wipe it over Coachman's face because he likes that type of thing. The Rock tries to do the, if you smell, because no, 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 this is SmackDown, inhale. If you smell, what? And this is proto... No, that's not the right word, is it? This is the very picture of a Rock promo. I have a big dick, and I am going to shove stuff up your ass.
That is every bit of a Rock promo.
It's so Freudian.
He has a lot of issues at this point that he should probably...
The Rock is insecure and thinks he likes you. But Rock doesn't want to deal with that right now. The Rock's going to beat the fuck out of you.
Yeah.
But he'll open his eyes when he kisses you. Kurt Angle comes out, and it's a SmackDown debut of You Suck during the Angle theme.
I was trying to figure out whether we'd heard it before.
Even though Edge did that promo months ago, it didn't take off. This may be the time it finally started and stays. So well done, Madison Square Garden. We'll have to wait and see.
Up the garden.
Here's Austin. JR does a lovely job of selling how cool it is to be here live, hearing the enormous pops Austin is getting. The pops are almost as big as The Rock's big foot dick. That's not Bigfoot's dick, it's his Bigfoot
dick. King Kong balls.
Exactly. From Skull Island. Almost as deafening, the what chance? Crazy loud atmosphere for this, getting the big match feel with plenty of time still on the clock, with both men taking their time early on. Kurt Angle gets sent outside, so Austin follows with flair-style chops, before sending Angle outside again to holy shit chance. Wow. Crowd's absorbing all of this like lugs, which aren't advertised tonight, but... Aww. So what? We know they exist.
Yeah.
Kurt Angle gets the advantage with a belly-to-belly before going back to stomps and punches as they're doing a lot less bumps here because the crowd is so loud for basic things. Also, Austin's back is on a ticking dive bomb. Austin avoids the Germans and delivers his own... Stop it. Stop it. Stop it.
Hey, Austin, do you want... Hey, Steve!
What is it, Deborah?
We're going to Berlin this Christmas?
Hell no!
Polish Austin never forgets.
Mr. Austin, tear down this wall.
What?
What?
famous promos in history.
Ich bin ein Berliner. What?
Ask God what you can do for your country. What?
I have a dream. What? We as a people. What? We'll get to the prize. Bird.
We'll fight them on the beaches.
What?
We'll fight them in the sand. What? Fight them at the Wetherspoons.
What?
We'll fight them in the beer.
What?
With the red wine.
What?
Churchill would have loved wrestling.
I'm going to have a cigar.
What?
Another cigar.
What?
A sherry.
What?
A whiskey.
What?
A beer.
What?
Another cigar.
What?
Invade Poland. What?
Damn, remember Winston Churchill invaded Poland?
Turned out he was a heel all along.
By God, the heel turned from Churchill.
He said, I was a nice man. I'm not a good guy. I'm not a bad guy. I am the guy.
Bulldog, bulldog. Anyway, Austin delivers his own American suplexes before Angle goes to his own again before Austin gets his... Wow, that's such a bad type sentence. They exchange German suplexes, all right? So Kurt Angle kicks him in his South German area with the referee not spotting it. No, not even good enough to look up a place in South Germany, just South German.
The soft underbelly.
The Bavarian area.
The Bavarians.
Kurt Angle attempts the moonsault, and bloody hell, it connects. But Austin kicks out. Wow, I thought Kurt Angle's thing was, the moonsault was MDK. I didn't realize someone actually got hit by it and kicked out. Huh. Angle lock, there we go, with Austin doing his Bret Hart WrestleMania 13 face again. However, he manages to counter into a roll-up for two, with Austin popping up and immediately stunnering Kurt Angle to bring out... Blue Kane's brother, Red Kane.
Red Kane!
Rip off.
What are you doing here? That's mental.
With Kane chokeslamming Austin before glaring at Angle and giving him 1-2. Oh, that's nice. Socialist Kane.
Seriously, Kane, what are you doing here, you big socialist? Now, he's out because this is Rumble season, which means...
Wabbit season.
Run-ins are allowed for Wabbit
season. Of course,
season.
Yes.
So he's out because this is Kane declaring for the Rumble. You know, you could just sign a form rather than beat up two men.
No, don't be silly.
Imagine this, how you, like, oh, I'm going to apply for this job, beat up two company directors.
Oh, if only. Kane's kaboom brings out another kaboom. It's the Big Show, Middle Show's brother. Who waddles about like Jemima Puddle Duck to brawl with Kane.
Did you enjoy the homage they paid to the Channel 4 years here of the World Wrestling Federation? Because Kane and Undertaker goozle each other, which there's Channel 4 had the coverage of the WWF, whenever they went to a break, you'd have the photo of Undertaker and Big Show goozling each other. And
Big Show trying to... goozle him, or is he just like...
Basically, they do that thing where the one goes for a chokeslam and the other goes, no, I'm doing a chokeslam. And we sadly never got the moment where they both chokeslammed each other simultaneously. Which, if I was a wrestler, I'd have gone, we need to do that.
I'm trying to figure out how, though.
You just jump in the air and fall backwards. Yeah. They chokeslammed each other!
Yes, you are right. Both fight over a chokeslam, which is won by Big Show, which brings out Triple H for the biggest reaction ever. Double Denim is here.
Did you hear JR's call as Triple H walked out?
I couldn't hear him.
He said, the longer they come, the bigger they get.
No, he didn't.
He didn't. The longer they come, the bigger they get.
The longer they come, the bigger they get.
Oh my God! Long come!
Long come!
Long come!
The longer they come! They left that in!
The longer they come, the bigger they get.
Oh, I love them ribbon, JR. Can we record that? No.
One take, JR, me.
Big Show's like, all right, bring it. In tries a chokeslam, so Triple H tries a clothesline. Neither of them work, so Triple H kicks him in the dick and pedigrees him like a champ. Then the Undertaker ends the episode by staring at Triple H like Mr. Wilson getting annoyed with Dennis the American Menace. That kid's skateboarding again. Well,
get off my lawn!
I'm not on your lawn, you fucking idiot.
That famous line.
It's a public street.
Famous line from Dennis the Menace. I'm not on your lawn, Mr. Wilson, you fucking idiot.
Yeah, that was his entire character. So, no, sorry, that was the British Dennis the Menace. American Dennis the Menace was just like, hi, I'm a kid doing kid stuff. Hi, can I wash your car for you, Mr. Wilson? It's such a sunny day. He's like, I hate the fucking kid.
Yeah, that's American Dennis the Menace. It's just, fucking hate that piece of shit. And then there's, and all he's doing is like being a little bit of a cheeky
Hello,
scam.
Mr. Wilson.
And then there's British Dennis the Menace. It's like, Dennis the Menace's dad. Yes, Dennis stoved a cat's head in with a brick at school again today.
Dennis!
Dennis!
Oh, looks like I got grounded for a week again.
I'm going to chase it with the fucking slipper.
Dennis the sociopath.
Dennis the probable axe murderer.
Dennis the desensitized to violence.
Dennis kicked a dog to death during Greece, during playtime today. Dennis's dad.
Dennis the completely separate from the human condition menace. Dennis, you won't find them. Dennis menace.
Yes, Dennis's dad. Dennis strapped Walter the Softy to the ground and ran over him with his bike 10 times.
Oh. No dessert. No dessert for a week.
No custard for you tonight, Dennis. Yeah.
Aww.
Sorry, Miss Dennis's dad. Dennis has invaded Poland.
God damn it.
Dennis!
The Poland are not doing well in this episode.
After 6.
Dennis went to Poland again. If they swapped dads, they'd be really well adjusted.
No, you'd have a little shit that gets away with everything. Oh, I suppose you've got that either side of it. Imagine Dennis, the British Dennis the Menace, confronted Mr. Wilson. Look, all right, Mr. Wilson, you prick, get the fuck out of my house. Mr. Wilson just kicking the shit out of Dennis the Menace.
American.
Put him against
American.
The wall of the house and just kneeing him in the face.
American, I'd be like, oh, I've not felt this good since Da Nang.
Which is the noise that Dennis's face makes.
Chris and Emily, it, yes. It, that's the
as it dashes against the windshield of my car.
The sound effect. As he hits Dennis the American, the British Menace. His Vauxhall Vectra at 50 miles an hour. Da Nang.
Vauxhall Electra.
Ah, my proud American car, the Vauxhall Electra.
My American Vauxhall Electra.
All the town saw it, but no one reported it to the police. Mr. Wilson never has to pay for a drink at his local pub for the rest of his life. Meanwhile, the American Dennis goes home to England and loves it so much, he's never leaving. Yeah. Wow, this dad's really nice.
He just has a really nice life. He just gets
generally liked by his friends and family. Leave behind a loving...
Gets a decent job as an accountant in an accounting firm.
Dies at the lovely age of 83.
Wife and family around him.
Big turnout.
Oh, God.
They named a stool after him at the park.
The American one gets a stool. The British one gets a fucking face-shaped dent in a Vauxhall Allegra.
Yeah, the other one in America. The other one in America. If you Google him, the FBI knocking your door and goes, "Why are you looking at the article?" Dickheads wearing "America that I said nothing wrong" T-shirts and getting dodgy looks. SmackDown. I really enjoyed the slow build of Kurt Angle versus Steve Austin here. Sorry, back to reality.
I thought this was a good match. Wasn't the best match they've had, but I enjoyed the work they did. I liked Austin hitting those All-American suplexes on All-American Kurt Angle.
Yeah.
Nice match. I like, it's Rumble season, so that's kind of why you forgive just random run-ins. because everyone's just going, I'm in the Rumble now. Triple H coming back and just battering Big Show, I thought was a shame. I'm nervous for the roster now Triple H is back. I feel like all the good work that's been done is going to get undone quite quickly.
Just you wait.
Oh my God. What did you remember from this episode? Death of the Menace.
Booker T versus Farton. And vomiting all over Cole. I hate that. I remember that.
I remember the vomiting as well. But I'll say I remember Vince's speech about destroying lives, turning him on. Like the beginning into the descent of madness of Vince McMahon.
He's always on that edge of falling off. Yeah. Right. But this is a time where they're going for it now, right? And then he just brings it back and says, hi, I'm Vince McMahon. Pretend you didn't see any of that.
Nothing happened, it's fine. Right. What did you forget?
That Spike and Taz were tag team champions.
Taz
burped. Jesus, that was really bad.
I forgot that they announced all the surprises for the Rumble. Yeah. I genuinely remember watching it going, Goldust. Oh, Mr. Perfect. I don't remember them announcing it. So that was a surprise.
Yeah.
I just thought they just popped up.
So weirdly timed with all these, like, hey, they're coming back. It's like, well, we have got lots of people to be pushing right now.
No,
Mr. Perfect, it is.
Big Valboski.
Mr. Perfect until roughly, April or so time.
Yeah, he's there for a good time, not a long time. So, All In date this weekend. So tomorrow is AEW All In. Have a wonderful time if you are going down. Look out for Matthew Gregg of Botchamania. Also look out for Jack the Jobber and Jackie Orlando from the Cultaholic Classic Raw Review. He's down in London as well. Give him some eggs when you see him. So look out for those guys. We'll be filming what happened at All In outside of Wembley. So
yay.
Keep tabs on the Cultaholic Twitter and stuff. We'll tell you where to cultivate. We'll have a big mass loving for what happened at. That'd be fun. If you're not there, then you can join Fraser Porter and I on Sunday evening. We'll be doing live reactions to All In on the Cultaholic YouTube channel. It'll be lovely to join you there. A couple of other random things to plug on this end. The night before All In, RevPro presenting their 11th anniversary show. So I had a chat with Michael Oku, the British heavyweight champion, all about the legacy of RevPro. He also picks a winner out of Chris Jericho and Will Ospreay. So that's fun. Also, Matthew Gregg, have you been enjoying the wonderful artwork that Don Callis has been bringing to AEW Dynamite?
I certainly have.
Yes. Well, those are pieces of work by an artist by the name of Mel Coleman.
Oh, I've heard of her.
Yes. We have a chat with Mel Coleman for the podcast feed. So if you wanted to get to know the lady behind those incredible Don Callis masterpieces, check out the podcast feed right now to hear my chat with Mel Coleman. She's lovely.
Boo. Oh, sorry. I just said Callis's name instinctively.
She's on the wrong side of history.
Yeah, rather like Winston Churchill by the...
and British Dennis the Menace.
Yes.
What are you plugging?
The fact that I won the Hall of Fame this week, which I've just seen now.
Yay!
It's my story about Bob Sapp. Did you hear about that?
Yeah, I love your... Tell the classic story of new people.
All right, for people who don't listen to it, because obviously it's like 9 hours every week. Tubman in Japan, came back from Japan, so now it's just Tubman.
Tubman in Japan.
But I call them Tubman in Japan now, because I'm so used to saying that. Bollocks. Yeah. Whatever. I still call 4+4 OD. And he brought me a Bob Sapp action figure, and I went brilliant. Couldn't have picked a better person. And I told the story about how the last day of Magfest is a big old festival, so lots of drinks, good times, and moonshine, because Americans like that type of thing. On the last day there, I bumped into Nobuo Uematsu, the composer of the Final Fantasy series, amongst other things. Legendary guy, he's playing live there and all that stuff. And me being worse than aware, remember someone saying that Nobu had been trained to be a wrestler before he became a composer. And I thought, well, bollocks, might as well ask him. And said, hey, hello, Nobu. You know, whatever. Hello, Nobu-san, whatever I probably said. Is it true that you were trying to be a wrestler before you did this? And he went, yes, yes. And stopped. That's all he gave.
Oh.
And I went, oh, okay, great. Wow, I thought somebody was just taking the piss. He said, yeah, I was trying to be a wrestler, which I thought was an amazing thing to know about. Mm. And he went, you like pro wrestling? And I went, oh. And I expected him to ask me a question, so... In my drug-addled brain, I was trying to think of, like, go on, say a wrestler that he'll be really impressed with. Don't say Inoki or Baba, you idiot. Don't say Tenryu or Choshu. No. Those are basic bitch picks, Matthew. Think of someone that he would get. And my brain short-circuited having to think, as it sometimes does, as you see every week on the podcast. And I just went with, And I said it like this. Bobu Sapu. To which, actually, we've got the recording of Nobu's reaction here. It's how Tom sounds now. And him and his crew, the rest of his band, all heard this. And that's exactly how they lasted. And they repeat it, go, oh, Bobu Sapu.
Fantastic.
Because that's not how they say it. If they were talking like, oh, Bob Sapp had a good match, or whatever, they were, oh, Bobu Sapu. Apparently, yes, they were being portrayed by racist caricatures from the 60s.
And then above Matt's head, it said minus 50 HP, and they just dissolved.
As I called in the podcast last week to Jack Chagrin, this is my Jack moment. Anyway, what do you mean? He says, you know what I mean.
Oh, hey, you may have had another Jack moment. You'll know by listening to the podcast that was on yesterday on the podcast feed. That you're recording after this one.
Yeah.
Because timey-wimey. Timeless.
Yes, but Tom, that's what I've been working on.
I've said what I've been working on as well.
Fantastic. Well, it looks like the longer you work on it, the harder it comes. Or whatever else you said. I have to go back and rewatch that.
The longer they come, the bigger they get. And the longer we come, the bigger you get. And we'll have more wrestling news, of course, throughout the week at Cultaholic.com. He's at Matthew Gregg. I'm at Tom Campbell. Enjoy All In at Wembley. We're at Cultaholic.com. Don't forget to join us. Love you. Bye. Bye.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
For all the wrestling headlines in just 10 minutes, search Cultaholic Wrestling News on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.